I want us to continue in this series by looking at the discipline of preaching. Now, I don't know whether we can have the first slide up on the screen. Here's the question that I want to ask tonight. Why listen to preaching? I hope you're still awake. You see, I'm under no illusions. I know that in these days in which we live, that preaching is not that high on people's list of priorities. Maybe I can move the screen on and show you some pictures. And as we look at some of these pictures, I'd like to ask you which one of these things most interests you or excites you. All right, but don't shout out loud. All right, just keep your answers to yourself. Here's the first picture. Meeting up with friends, going to a party of some kind, going to the cinema, you know, watching the latest film that's out. I think the latest Bond film is about to be released, is that right? Somebody's nodding their head. Something like that might excite or interest someone here tonight. Watching the football or some other kind of sport on a widescreen television in your home or perhaps in someone else's home. Or listening to preaching. Listening to the preaching of God's word. As I say, don't shout out loud. But within your own mind, think about which one would excite you the most. I'm under no illusions. We live in a world today where people don't tend to listen to people speaking for a long period of time. We're living in a society where everything is very visual. We're used to looking at screens with coloured pictures appearing on them. We're used to spending time on the internet. We're used to spending time looking at iPads and iPods and all those sorts of things that I don't really know very much about. But what's on them is very visual and very stimulating. We spend our time looking at magazines, perhaps, which are very glossy and very attractive to look at. We're living in an age where we're used to looking at things rather than listening to people talking for periods of time. And some people today would say, well, it was all right for the Apostle Paul in his day to stand up and speak for an hour or 2 hours, because I don't think he would have preached for 30 minutes. I think he would probably have preached for an hour or 2 hours, or perhaps for the whole evening. It may have been right for the Apostle Paul to have preached in his day, but in our day we're used to interactive learning. And so I'm under no illusions. You know, preaching is not high on the list of lots of people's agenda. But what I want to say tonight is that I believe that preaching the Word of God is really, really, really important. And what I want to do tonight is to try from the Bible to convince you all, whether you're young or whether you're old, that preaching the Word of God is absolutely vital in a church like ours.
We've got two readings from Paul's letter to Timothy. Timothy, a young man, embarking on a career, as we would call it now, probably pastoral career, preaching career. And Paul's got some very wise words for Timothy. Reading in two parts. If you'd like to follow them, 1 Timothy 4, verses 13 to 16. 1 Timothy 4, verses 13 to 16. Got the page there, Dave? 1193. 1193 in the church Bibles. And then the next reading, which Charlotte's going to do in a moment, is 2 Timothy 4:1-5, but we'll give you that again in a moment. So, Paul's letter to Timothy, chapter 4, verses 13 to 16. Paul says, "Until I come, devote yourselves to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through a prophetic message when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers." Charlotte, would you come and just read 2 Timothy, the second letter that Paul wrote to Timothy, chapter 4, again, verses 1 to 5.
"In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I will give you this charge. Preach the word, be prepared in season and of out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with the sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you keep your head in all situations, endure hardship to their work and of evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry."
Thank you. Okay. Wise words from Paul to Timothy.
Well, we're looking at the question tonight, why listen to preaching? I think we need to ask another question, though, tonight, before we can go any further, and that is, what is preaching? Now, I do want to speak to some of the young people at this point, and I want to ask the question, are you learning any languages at school? Can you put up your hand if you're learning a language? That is all of you. Okay. What languages are you learning, incidentally?
French?
Anything different to French? Spanish?
German?
Sammy, what are you learning? Is it French in your class, along with Naomi? Peter, are you learning a language at school? Maybe you will in a little while. Is he learning one yet, Mum and Dad? He's learning a bit of French. And how old are you? 5. Learning French at the age of 5. I wonder how many, what shall I call them, foreign words some of you are learning. Do some of you know more than 10 foreign words? Yeah? I'm getting lots of nods. Naomi, I know that you're learning a bit of French. Would you say you'd know at least 10 French words? You know your numbers, don't you, up to 10? Samuel, I'm sure, does as well. Well, I think that's quite amazing. Or perhaps I shouldn't say it's amazing, because you're all very bright and very intelligent. But because I know that you can learn lots of words in a foreign language, I feel confident enough to teach you 4 Greek words. All right? 4 Greek words. Let me move the screen on. What is preaching? Oops, gone too far. You see, there are 4 Greek words that enable us to understand what preaching amounts to. And the first Greek word is the word kerusso, which means to herald. Now, I need 2 volunteers at this point. And I'm going to bring a chair out and put it here. Who is going to volunteer to help me? Samuel, would you like to come out the front? And I'll have you as well, Naomi. The reason I've chosen Naomi is because she's worked really hard this afternoon to help me organise this. Would you like to sit on the chair and put on the crown that you've made? Simon, if you'd just like to come and stand next to Naomi a second, and you don't have to do anything for the moment. And Naomi, I'm going to give that to you. Now, I want you to imagine an ancient king. All right? Now the king wants a message to be made known to all his subjects or all his people throughout the kingdom. And you are the subjects, all right, or the people of the kingdom. But the king is not going to speak directly to you. What the king does is he appoints a herald or a proclaimer. And what the king has done is to write his message here on a scroll. So, king, if you would like to give that to the herald, and herald, in a big loud voice, would you like to proclaim to the subjects of the kingdom the king's message?
Pay your taxes or die.
Okay. So you've got to pay your taxes or die. But what the herald is not allowed to do is to say, pay your taxes or die, and give me some money at the same time. Because you see, the herald is only allowed to say what the king has told him to say. He mustn't take away from what the king has said. He must not add to what the king has said. He can only say what the king has said. Thank you for that. Thank you for that as well. You can both go and sit down. And a preacher is a herald of God's word. I'm a preacher, but I'm not allowed to say more than what God has said in his word. Neither am I allowed to say less than what God has said in his word. My job is to simply make known or to proclaim the word of God. So a preacher, firstly, is a herald. But there's another Greek word that helps us to understand what preaching amounts to, and it's the word martyria. I'm not sure whether I'm pronouncing these correctly, but it's the best that I can do. And the word means to bear witness. Now, can you see what's going on in this picture? What's the lady at the back of the picture? Let's get that established first. Josh. Not the jury. You want to think about it again? The judge. Brilliant. Excellent. The lady sitting behind the bench there is the judge. So what is this lady at the front of the picture behind the microphone? Yes, Ben. She's a witness. She's sitting in the witness box. She's seen something. She's heard something. And in a court of law, she is witnessing or testifying to what she has seen or heard. And she's obliged to tell the truth as to what she has seen or heard. And a preacher is one who testifies to the truth of God's word. He's a witness, if you like, to what God has said in the Bible. Let's move on, because there's another Greek word, didasko, which means to teach. Now, let's have a look at this picture. Can anybody tell me what that is a picture of? Peter. It's a picture of Jesus. Is that what you think it's a picture of? I thought that was what somebody was going to say. I was going to ask whether anybody was offended by this picture, but you know, there's no need to be offended by it, because it's not a picture of Jesus. It could have been a picture, I suppose, of Jesus, but it's not a picture of Jesus. You see, at the time when Jesus lived on the earth, there were lots of people that died by means of Roman crucifixion. Not all those people died for sins. Jesus was the only one who died for sins, but there were lots of people who were put onto crosses like this one and died in this particular way. Now, why have I said this? Well, in order to make something of a point. You see, you couldn't understand this picture, could you, apart from words and sentences? And God's will, God's ways, can't be communicated simply through pictures, words, and sentences. And arguments need to be used. You see, there's a teaching element to preaching. So, what is preaching? To herald, to bear witness, to teach, and lastly, the Greek word that's used to help us understand what preaching is, evangelizo, which simply means to declare good news. Preaching involves declaring the good news about Jesus Christ. It involves proclaiming the gospel. So that's what preaching amounts to. Richard, I'll hand back over to you. Thank you.
Let's have a time of prayer now, shall we? And then we'll head back to Mark again. Let's pray. Father, how wonderful it is that we have your word written down for us in our own language. Lord, we confess that there are parts, perhaps lots of this word, that we do not understand. Lots of it we can follow. It's so straightforward. But other parts, Lord, we all find so difficult to follow, to understand. And therefore, Lord, we have to have it explained to us in one way or another. And Lord, you have gifted men right from the beginning of time that can explain your word to other people. And so, Lord, we do thank you for men today that up and down this land and across the world that have got this great gift. A gift from you. We acknowledge that, Lord, that you have given to them to explain clearly God's word. And we pray, Lord, that in this place here, we thank you for Mark and all that he does for us in preparation, in learning himself before he explains to us. We know, Lord, that your Holy Spirit has a tremendous part to play in this process of learning, not just for us, but for Mark as well. And we therefore, Lord, thank you for your wonderful Spirit that came down to us after Jesus went into heaven and is here right now in all of us that believe in you. So, Lord, we just thank you for your Spirit that enables us to follow what's going on here tonight. And even though we might find some of this quite difficult to follow, Lord, we do pray that through your Spirit we will ultimately understand and come to know Jesus. And that is why the preacher always points us to Jesus. Your Bible, your book, your word does this, Lord, and every page or every chapter, every book of the Bible points towards Jesus. And we thank you for that, Lord. So, Heavenly Father, we do pray that as we come here week by week to Sunday services, as we meet during the week, the adults to study your word, and as younger people come to the youth meetings during the week, we do pray, Lord, that we will all be eager listeners to your word, that we will all want to soak up and enjoy so much studying your word through the week. Help us to understand what you have to say to us, Lord. But there's just one more important thing we must ask you, and that is that as we read and understand, that word that we've learnt has an impact on our lives. Otherwise, we just learn for learning's sake, and that's no good at all. So, Heavenly Father, could you please help us to apply what we learn here during the week to our lives day by day? In Jesus' name we ask you. Amen.
We're talking, aren't we, about preaching this evening. And you don't have to come to church in order to hear preaching. One doesn't have to stand behind a lectern or a pulpit in order to preach. You know, one can preach anywhere in the world. And it doesn't really matter how many people there are either. There can be thousands of people, or there can just be one or two people. But in order for preaching to happen, there needs to be a preacher, a Bible, and those who are willing to listen to what the preacher has to say. Well, I want to ask another question at this point. And the question is this, although you can't see it very well there, can you, with it being in red? I obviously mustn't use red again. Why is preaching so important? Now, at this point, particularly those of you who are younger, I'm going to encourage you to listen as carefully as you can, because there aren't many pictures through this part of the talk. But see if you can listen carefully and look at some of the verses that I want us to read together carefully. Why is preaching so important? There are three reasons. Firstly, because God is pleased to make himself known through preaching. He's pleased to make himself and his will known through preaching. Now, if you think about it, God could send a great big delegation of angels to communicate his word to us this evening, couldn't he? He could do that, but he hasn't chosen to do that. God could write things about himself up in the sky using the clouds, but God hasn't chosen to reveal himself and his will to us in that way. God could speak to us tonight with a big, deep, booming, scary voice, or with a quiet whisper, but he hasn't chose to reveal his will to us in that way. God, according to the Bible, has chosen to make himself known and to reveal his will to us through the preaching of his word. Let me put before you a few texts, which that one hasn't come out very well. I'm not going to read it all. I'm just going to read the bits that are in yellow. God wants all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. And Paul writes, "And for this purpose I was appointed a herald," remember that word, "and a teacher of the true faith." Another verse from the scriptures. "For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe." And you know, if we read the Old Testament, we can see God raising up prophets or preachers to make his will known. If we look at the New Testament, we see God raising up lots of preachers and teachers to make his will known. And if we're one of those people that like reading history, we can read church history and see that God, throughout the centuries, has raised up lots of people in order to preach or to proclaim his word. Why is preaching so important? Well, secondly, God is pleased to save people through preaching. Let's have a look at the previous text again. And I've highlighted two words there, as you can see. "For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe." Quick question at this point. If you want to see members of your family saved, if you want to see your friends becoming Christians, in the light of this verse, what would be a really good thing for you to do?
Give them a Bible.
Give them a Bible so that they can read it. You could bring them to church so that they could hear preaching. That's why I want us all to believe in preaching. That you yourself could take hold of the Bible and you could preach to them, couldn't you? You could tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done. Now, I think it's really important for us to know that this verse does not say that God is pleased to save through foolish preachers. All right? Let me just go on quickly to another slide. All right? God is not pleased to save people through foolish preachers or through nutters. God, in this verse, says that it is through the foolishness of what is preached. or it's through the foolishness of the message that people are saved. And the message is all about Jesus Christ and him crucified. Let's go back one and look at this verse as well. This is found in Romans chapter 10, 14 and 15. Paul writes, "How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard?" This is the bit that I really want us to take note of. "And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." So God is pleased to make himself and his will known through preaching. God is pleased to save people through preaching. And thirdly, God is pleased to build up Christians through preaching. If you're a Christian here tonight, I hope that you don't want to remain a baby. You see, if we look at the Bible, God teaches us that we are to grow up and become mature. We're to be adult-like in our understanding. And if we are going to grow and become mature, then we need to listen to preaching. We need to be willing to listen to those whom God has gifted to preach. Let's have another verse. You see, I'm trying to prove everything that I'm saying tonight from the Bible. That's my authority. It was he, that is Jesus, who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Why is preaching so important? Firstly, because God is pleased to make himself and his will known through preaching. Secondly, because God is pleased to save people through preaching. The Bible clearly says that that is so. And thirdly, because God is pleased to build up Christians through preaching. If we want to grow, then we need to be willing to listen to God's word being taught, proclaimed, preached. Just a few sort of closing thoughts really tonight. Three concluding thoughts. Firstly, there is nothing worse than a famine of preaching. Let me pop this picture up for you to look at. I'm sure when we look at that little boy, it causes us to feel sad. Here is a little boy, and he's hungry, and he's looking around on the ground in order to find something to eat. Now, I could have brought some pictures tonight that would have been far worse than this one. I find it difficult, if I'm honest, to look at some of these little boys and girls in Africa who are little more than skin and bone. It must be terrible to live in a part of the world where there is a famine, where there is no food and no drink. But let me say this, it is a far worse thing when there is a famine of God's word. Many years ago, during the time of Amos, this is what the Lord declared. "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will send a famine throughout the land, not a famine of food or a thirst for water, but a famine of hearing the words of the Lord." That's the worst kind of famine there could ever be. No opportunity to hear the life-giving words of God. Secondly, by way of conclusion, preaching is never a waste of time. Never a waste of time. Let's have a look at the picture at the bottom there. Some of you will recognise the cartoon characters. Can you see what's going on there? They're in church. The smallest girl is asleep. The little boy and the girl look bored out of their brains. And, well, let's face it, Dad looks pretty bored as well. And, you know, sometimes when you're a preacher, you wonder whether what you're doing is a waste of time, because there are one or two people sometimes that are having a little nap, shall we say, on the back row. No one here tonight, incidentally, which is good. You're not sleeping, are you, Simon?
Not yet.
Not yet. That's good. It's never a waste of time. And I would look to Isaiah chapter 55, verses 10 and 11, for encouragement. Let's read what it says. As the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to the empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent. In other words, whenever the word of God goes forth, it always achieves something. It always achieves the purpose for which God was pleased to send it. It's never a waste of time. It doesn't always result in what we might want it to result in, but it's never a waste of time. But thirdly, how much we value preaching says a lot about our spiritual health. You see, if we were to turn to Acts chapter 2 tonight, we would read that Peter, the great apostle, preached a really good sermon in the power of the Holy Spirit, and 3,000 people were converted. The church was born, and those early Christians were very excited about their newfound faith. They were really keen and on fire for God. And the scriptures tell us that they wanted to listen to the apostles preaching and teaching every day. They were so enthusiastic they couldn't get enough of the preached word. But it's not always like that, is it? And the apostle Paul warns of a time when people won't want to listen to the faithful preaching of God's word. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verses 3 and 5. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. Now, I'm more or less done, but let me ask you another question tonight. What do you think? What do you think about preaching? Are you convinced that this is something that is really important to God? Are you convinced that this is the means that God is pleased to use to enable people to come to an understanding of who He is and what His will is? Are you convinced that God is pleased to use preaching to save souls, to enable people to become Christians? Have you become convinced that God is pleased to use preaching to build up Christians in order that they might become strong in their faith? You know, there are some churches today where the Word of God isn't preached, and where the people don't really want to listen to the word of God preached. Those churches will eventually die. They will eventually die. But where there are local churches where the word of God is preached and where the people of God want to listen to the word of God being preached and are willing to act upon the word of God that they have heard preached to them, those churches will grow. Not quickly, maybe very slowly, but they will grow. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for being with us tonight. We thank you, Lord, for these songs that we've been able to sing. We thank you, Lord, for what you have taught us tonight. And we pray that you would so work in our hearts that we may be those who love your word. To the psalmist, it was as honey. It was something that was good. Lord, we pray that we may love your word and that we may love to hear your word being taught, being preached, being heralded, being proclaimed. Help us to have confidence, Lord, in the preached word in these days in which we live. Some churches, Lord, are turning their attention to all sorts of ways of trying to communicate your will. And we don't necessarily want to run down, Lord, all those various means of communication, but we want to uphold and acknowledge the importance of using words in communicating your truth. May this always be a church that is committed to the preaching of your word. And we pray that you might be pleased to bless us in the course of time as we seek to be faithful to you in this way. Hear our prayer, and we ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.